All right, so today I'm going to be picking up from where Pastor Chris left off. So he's been in the book of Ephesians. He did Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 8 last week. If you do have your Bibles, you can open them and turn to Ephesians chapter 4. But first, I want to pray and just invite again the Lord to speak to our hearts. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity. The opportunity to just dive into the scriptures, Lord, to learn more about you, to learn more about what you have for us, God. I pray that your spirit would just speak to us, Lord. May we have hearts open to hear and receive, our minds and our ears, Lord, be available, God. And Holy Spirit, I just ask you speak through me this morning. May it not be my words, but let it be yours. I thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. So a little interactive I want to start with. Raise your hand if you maybe play an instrument, guitar, piano, maybe sing. Now, this isn't like a recruitment for worship team. Don't worry. Don't worry. There we go. Okay. We've got a few. Okay. How about writing or art? Does anyone like to write, paint? Okay. We've got a couple. Oh, okay. We've got quite a few. There we go. All right. What about sports? Is anyone really good at sports and enjoy sports? Okay, there we go. We got some quick hands on that one. All right. Okay. And then what about, I know we have a lot of motorcycle guys here. Anybody car, like to work on cars, motorcycles? Okay. So like throughout the room, we kind of see these different interests, these different abilities, these things that we kind of gravitate towards, right? As you know, I play guitar, if you didn't already know that. but I've been playing for, gosh, probably well over 10 years now. And God has really given me that gift, a natural feel, an ability, an enjoyment when it comes to playing music. And these natural abilities are great. They kind of guide us to, one, our hobbies, sometimes our personal development. But they also can lead us to our career paths. Is anybody really good with English, like spelling, grammar, writing? Okay, there's a couple in here. So that was like not my forte, especially in school. So I kind of like did not want to pick a career that had English and grammar. Even writing the sermon, I was like, if it makes sense to me, I don't know if it's grammatically correct. But again, our natural gifts, we kind of start to lean towards, and we're excelling at it. I remember when I was 16, I joined my first worship team, and I didn't realize I kind of bit off more than I could chew. I'd only been playing guitar for like maybe 6 months at best, and really that's not a very long time. So the set list would come out like Monday or Tuesday, and I was still in high school, so I would come home from school, I'd lock myself in my room, and I would just practice for hours because I was like, I'm not going to be the one that brings this team down. I'm going to learn this set list. I'm going to get better at my gift. And as I did get better, it was this satisfaction. When we have these gifts and these abilities and we fulfill them, that it brings this satisfaction, this almost purpose to what we have. And again, natural abilities are all great. They're awesome. Again, they make us unique to who we are. And I think it's important to note that not only do believers, those that believe that Jesus is our Savior, have natural gifts and abilities, but also non-believers. Those who don't follow Christ also have gifts and talents that they use as well. But there's something different. When we join the family of God, when we become a part of the body, when we have this new name, this new title in Christ, we are given a gift, and it's called a spiritual gift. So what is a spiritual gift? And I have the definition up. It is a God-given ability to serve God and other Christians in such a way that Christ is glorified and believers are edified. So edified, I put a definition up just because it's not a very common word these days, but it means to spiritually build up, to instruct and strengthen the church community. So again, it's this, the spiritual gift is not ours. It's a God gift given to us to strengthen our community, those around us, those that we do life with, those that we do church with, and ultimately to give God the glory. Amen. So last week, Pastor Chris opened up with chapter 4. He wanted to focus in on unity and maturity in Christ. So I wanted to refresh just a little bit of the beginning of chapter 4. You can always go back and watch, or you can listen, or you can read it as well. But chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received." So this verse is telling us that we need to have this act of intentionality, that everything we do, everything we say has to be either for the glory of God or not at all. We make a decision, everything that we do. So then Paul continues in that early chapter of Ephesians, and he shares almost like these requirements of what is worthy, a life that is worthy of that particular call. Pastor Chris again mentioned it, talking about having patience, being gentle, being humble, and being loving. All of those things we all struggle with, we all wrestle with. Being gentle is not easy. Being patient is very difficult, especially while driving, right? But using those gifts and using those things with love, that's where that matters the most, is using our gifts in love and living that life worthy of the call. So Paul is telling them the requirements, and then he's saying to both of them, it was both Jew and Gentiles at the time, that they now all belong together. There's one body under one spirit, one God, one Lord, which is Jesus Christ. So today, I'm going to pick up where Pastor Chris left off. I'm going to be looking at verses 9 through 13. I titled my message, Christ's Gift to His Church. But I'm going to back up a little bit to 7 and 8. It kind of ties into that particular section, and so it kind of will lead us into that portion. So let's look at verses 7 and 8. And it says, "But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people." So right there at the end in those quotations, Paul is referencing Psalm 68:18. So he's taking a shift. Again, we talked about unity. We talked about maturity in Christ. And now he's shifting to uniqueness. So as a properly functioning church, we're not all clones. Not all of us have the same function. We don't all do the exact same thing. He's saying that we all have different gifts. We're all very unique. Just like our natural abilities, we have spiritual gifts and these spiritual abilities that allow us to be unique in Christ. And I wanted to emphasize this. I'm probably going to say it a couple more times just so that it can be an encouragement to you, but these are gifts that are given freely by the Lord. It's not by anything of our power. Again, I play guitar. There's going to be many people who play better than I do, but it doesn't matter about how well I play. It doesn't matter how smart people are. It doesn't matter how much education you have. It doesn't matter about social status. It doesn't matter about money. None of that matters. Because when you say yes to Jesus, you're given this gift, and that gift is now crucial and critical to operate in the body of Christ, to bring a healthy, functioning church. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So, again, it's not by us, it's by the Lord. And now Paul is going to continue. In verse 9 and 10, he's going to kind of set us up for these gifts that he's going to share. But verse 9, it says, "What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe." So those two verses together, a little confusing. Sometimes it's like, what does that mean when they say that Jesus descended into heaven or onto the earth? And so when I was studying and putting this together, I had a commentary alongside me, and I was going through it, and I think just those two verses had like 3 or 4 pages of different interpretations. So I didn't want to go through each one. That wasn't really the point of this message today. My study Bible, it said that Paul was going to set everybody up and kind of remind them of the work that Christ did. What he did, he's saying that Christ was in heaven, that he descended on the earth, he was here with us, and then he died, he rose again, he went back to heaven, and that's where we have the pouring out of the Holy Spirit and where the gifts, those spiritual gifts, were poured out onto us. So he's setting us up for that. And regardless, when he talks about those different regions, interpretation, it what it is, scholars argue over them all the time. But I want to say we can all agree to say this, and I have it on the screens too, that Christ's lordship, it knows no bounds. There's no realm, no authority, no part of the universe that can escape his presence. So Jesus is Lord of heaven and earth. So all the gifts belong to him. There's nothing outside of his power, his authority. It all belongs to Jesus. He has the final say and authority. Amen? We agree with that? Amen. So now Paul is going to state 5 different gifts. Sometimes they're called the ministry offices, ministry gifts. And he talks about 5 only. There are plenty other ones. Some people say there's like 25. Sometimes there's 20. Sometimes, again, interpretation of scripture. But in this particular passage, Paul is just going to say 5. Because, again, he's going to be talking about the blueprint of how to have a healthy, functioning church. And where does that start? It starts with good leadership. Solid foundational leadership under the authority of Jesus. So verse 11, it says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. So I want to go through those 5 in particular. Maybe one of these speak to you. Maybe you might feel like you have this gift. Maybe someone comes to mind. Make it relatable to your life and to those around you. So first is the apostles. So this was probably referred to the 12 disciples. Apostles is very unique because they are only the ones that could personally testify to the resurrection of Jesus. They saw, they witnessed it, they witnessed Jesus here on the earth. And so it can be a little confusing sometimes, that term, apostles. Some people call themselves apostles. We as a church are assemblies of God, so we do not actually use the title apostles anymore because none of us have seen the resurrected Jesus. But some people will use it, and that's okay. No judgment or anything like that. It's because the Greek word for apostle, which is apostolos, it means set out for a specific purpose or mission. So sometimes when someone says they're apostle, it means that they're a church missionary, that they're a church planter. So just know that for apostles, it originally relates to the 12 disciples who personally witnessed the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So second, we have prophets. So a prophet is a designated person who communicated a word from God. In other words, they were God's spokesperson. This is when God wanted to convey a certain message to his people, he would raise someone up and he would speak through them. This is really popular in the Old Testament, especially when it came to obedience and disobedience, right? We have a lot of Old Testament books that are prophet books. We have Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Isaiah. One of my favorites I like, it's a pretty easy one you learn early on, is Jonah. He was a prophet. God raised him up, and he wanted him to speak to the people at Nineveh. At first, he was like, no, thank you, and turned the other way because he did not want to share what God was going to do for their disobedience. But that's where we get the story of Jonah and the whale. So God got his attention, and then he said, go to the people of Nineveh, preach this word. And then he did, and the people repented of their sins. So a lot of times, again, Old Testament, it's to warn people of their disobedience. It does happen in the early church in Acts. Paul was actually prophesied over. He was prophesied when he was about to go do ministry. Someone came over him and said that he was going to actually be arrested. And instead, you would think that would be a discouragement, but it actually encouraged him, and it confirmed that he was doing the right thing, that he was doing the right ministry for God, and he was going to move forward and continue what he was doing. And even today, prophecy, still very active. Maybe you've been prophesied over. Maybe someone's given you a word, a confirmation. Maybe you've haven't been following the Lord, and someone maybe said something and tried to get you right back on the right path again. You know, even when sometimes you can hear someone have a prophecy and maybe you kind of shrug it off, but even Paul said to take what they say seriously. Of course, anytime someone prophesies over you, it has to be tested. Tested against the scriptures, tested against the word of God. We never know that sometimes people will abuse certain gifts. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:20-21, do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. So again, take them seriously. If someone prophesies over you, take it to the scriptures. Lord, what are you saying to me here? What am I not hearing? Or Lord, I just need a little bit of encouragement or a confirmation from you. And maybe someone speaks over your life and it's a word from the Lord. The church needs people with the gift of prophecy. It warns, it corrects us, but it also strengthens, it encourages. When people do it in love, when people do it with gentleness, when people do it with humility, not to bring them glory, it encourages us, and it builds the body, and it glorifies God. So first we had apostles, we had prophets, and next is evangelists. So this one might be a little bit easier, a little bit more popular these days as well, but this refers to a person who proclaims the gospel or the good news. So a great example of this is Pastor Greg Laurie. He's a great example. We think of his Harvest Crusades. That's his exact purpose, is to preach the good news in a public way, to share the gospel. He explains the good news in a way that's really easy for us to understand. And he's very passionate about it. It's a gift that he was given that he's operating and doing well with. Even Pastor Chris, he's an evangelist. We see him preach. When he shares his testimony, he becomes passionate. He shares the good news of Jesus. He shares almost every single week of what God has done in his life. And it touches all of us, I think, every single one of us. It's a special gift that he received. So again, apostles, we have prophets, we have evangelists. And then Paul, he separates these next two. He says pastors and teachers. So some people will put them together. Some will say pastor, teacher as one gift. But there is that word and in between. And I think they do overlap. I think pastors should be teachers. They should know how to instruct the people through the word. But there are some differences. So a pastor, I would say, is probably better translated as a shepherd. So this is a person who is to guard and to lead their flock, to lead the church under their authority, which again is under Jesus. But it's this nurturing characteristic. It's this caring for their spiritual life and to counsel them. They offer prayer, counseling. They offer leadership. They have vision. That's what a pastor is. And as a teacher, again, they can overlap a little bit, but another word for a teacher can be instructor, right? So an instructor, they explain doctrine to believers. See, I'm actually a music teacher as well, besides being here with you guys. And so I teach guitar. So what I do is I explain how to play guitar in a way that someone at their level can interpret it and understand it. It illuminates it in a new way. That's exactly what a teacher does when it comes to scripture and the word of God. Helping people understand, what is this text saying? How does this apply to my life? I don't understand. But a teacher has that special gift God has given them to illuminate that to them. So again, these five, we have apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Maybe someone comes to mind. People in your life. Again, I gave a couple examples. But Paul states these five, again, because his focus, as we talked about last week, was unity and maturity in Christ. If we're going to function as a healthy church, it starts with solid leadership. These gifts, they lay the groundwork for the church. It's like, again, it's a blueprint. God's vision for the church is that we are to, this leadership is to know the truth about Jesus, to serve the leadership in the church, to proclaim that Jesus is superior in all things, that he is the head of the church, he's the very image of God, he's the final authority, and Jesus is our focal point of our faith. So maybe as I'm going through these gifts, you're saying, well, Cheyenne, I don't really think any of these gifts resonate with me. I haven't really been called to leadership, and that's okay. That doesn't leave out the rest of us in this church. We don't get off that easy. That would be fun, but no, God always has a purpose. Context is important in the Bible. When you read a scripture, you have to read it for what it is. Always, always important. What is the scripture saying now? Right? So Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, again, laying out the groundworks, the foundation. He wanted them to understand God's plan, God's goal for the church, and that all of it's made possible through Jesus. So now that we understand what it was written for, we turn and we say, how can this apply to my life? What does this scripture mean for me today? So verse 11 says the gifts, but then as we continue, we can see the purpose of those gifts and how they work together. So again, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now I'm going to go to verse 12. They are to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So that leadership, we are to train the people. Train the people to do the work themselves. We equip the people. We teach them about their gifts. And then we help them exercise their gifts. And that way, they can bring encouragement to others. And then ultimately, bringing glory to God. We see unity. We see a healthy functioning church when we are taught sound doctrine and when we have a common understanding of who God is, who Jesus is, and how the Holy Spirit works in our lives. It's hard. We live in this age of consumerism. All right, what can I get out of this? What can I get out of worship? What can I get out of this message? What can I get out of church? And yeah, it's important to come say, I need to be fed. I need to learn more about the scriptures. Teach me. Yes, that's great. But it doesn't stop there. Your leadership is here to equip you. to give you the knowledge, to give you that understanding of the scriptures. But now it's your duty to use your gifts and to share the truth of Jesus Christ. You know, for me, I really like discipleship. And when I graduated high school, I went right into the school of worship. And again, they do the exact same thing. They disciple. They train up the next generation of worship leaders. And it was a 9-month program. I finished. I graduated. And then they said, okay, here you go. And at the time, I was at a different church. And for whatever reason, God's plan, that's how God laid it out. I asked for a mentor and it never came about. I asked someone to pour into my life to equip me a little bit deeper with hands-on. And it didn't work out. So I left and I actually came over to the Huntington Beach campus, and the pastor at the time said, you know, Cheyenne, I see a gifting in you. I see that but you need training. And so he brought in somebody who had 20 plus years of experience, and he poured everything he had into me. He was showing me the ropes, right? He was showing me the different experiences of worship, what he had learned over the years. But then he was showing me how I was different. Again, we have this uniqueness. We're all built differently. We're all special. We all have these different abilities, these different giftings. And he was showing me that. And then he said, okay, it's my time to leave. And then from there, I would continue to grow. And so now I would do the same thing, right? You know, today I didn't have to lead worship and also preach. That would have been a lot. It wasn't necessary though, right? We have leaders on this team that have grown, that have been discipled, that have exercised their gifts. I've given them that opportunity as their leader to exercise their gifts, to really show what God has made them for. And they're unique. Everybody does everything differently. And that's the beauty of the body, right? So I got blessed this morning because I didn't have to lead. I could sit and receive. So you see how the body is strengthened from that. Now, there's a lot of other gifts. I'm not going to go through all of them because that would take quite some time. But I would encourage you, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 has a huge list. It's very detailed if you want to look at the list there. Also, Romans 12, I'm actually going to read that. 12:3-8, to give you some of the other gifts that exist. So verse 3, it says, "For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body. Each member belongs to all of the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us." And now here's some of the gifts that that Paul writes. "If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. And if it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully." So no gift is better than the other. The scripture really talks about that, that they're all different. They all work hand in hand, just like the different organs of our body, right? If we all need those gifts, maybe some gifts seem more appealing than others. And that's okay, but in reality, we all need each other. Maybe somebody wants the gift of prophecy and their gift is encouragement. Embrace the gift that you have. Again, it's important. Your uniqueness, your gift matters to the body. So embrace your gift. It says in 1 Peter 4:10 that each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. See, we use our gifts, again, for the glory of God, but we use them in love. We use them with gentleness. We use them with patience, with humility, because they're not our gift. They are God's gift given to us. So a couple examples of gifts that, you know, hopefully you have a good body. I mean, we're here, so we all have each other, right? As this body, it's great that you're plugged into the church because you can lean on each other with those different gifts. But some examples, I shared one this morning. When I was a little bit younger, I had like a stomach flu or some type of illness that had to do with my stomach. And I was better, but not 100%. And I remember coming to church and I was just down. I just was still feeling it, still feeling kind of beat up. And there's this gift, the gift of healing. And I remember someone coming up to me and said, "Hey, can I pray for you?" And I said, "You know, absolutely. Please, please pray for me." So she laid hands on me. And as she was praying, I could just feel like it was almost like this warmth of the power of the Lord just working through her. Her gifts was working in that moment to strengthen me, to help me feel better, to bring us together for, as the body. And when she was done praying, I was better. I was 100% healed. And it was, again, it was a witness of God and his testimony of his goodness and the power that he has. But then it strengthened us as friends, us as a community. Another gift, I think my dad has this one. It's called the gift of exhortation or encouragement. This is a great gift, especially in a world that is just so broken and so negative all the time and trying to attack each other over anything. You can argue over the sky is blue now, and we need the gift of encouragement these days, especially. But my dad, every Sunday that I have led worship for as long as I can remember, he texts me every morning, every Sunday, a word of encouragement. Just saying something like, "Hey, you're going to have a great service. You know, God is with you." You know, and sometimes I appreciate it every week. Some weeks are better than others. Again, I have a baby at home, and so sleep is a little non-existent at times. So getting up at 5 in the morning and then trying to, I don't want to say put on a face, but sometimes it's like I don't want to be here just because the flesh gets to me and I get tired. But that text means something to me every single week. He's encouraging me. He's building up the body, right? Another gift. This one's a tricky one. Some people get a little uncomfortable with it, but it's the gift of tongues. Speaking in a spiritual language. Usually it's followed by the interpretation of tongues. I was really hesitant about tongues because I've seen it used in a poor way. I've seen it used not in love. But there was one time I was in a service, and we had worship, and it was really powerful. Like, we just had a moment where the Lord was just ministering. It was really quiet. There was just some instrumental music, and suddenly somebody started speaking in tongues, and it was about a minute, maybe two, of him speaking, and then he stopped, and then within 30 seconds, there was an interpretation. And I can't remember exactly what the word was. It had something to do with the Lord is in this place and I'm doing a move right now, something along those lines. But it was just powerful. You could feel the presence of God and how, again, the gifts were used in a positive way that just blessed all of us. You could feel that holy presence of God, this reverence of the Lord that you're not expecting, and this understanding that God is so much bigger than all the problems in this world and everything in our lives. So again, these gifts are they're powerful and they're from the Lord. And, you know, I have a handful of gifts. As you grow in Christ, sometimes your gifts change. As you mature, as you have different trials you go through, they can get a little, they can change over time. For myself, I know a big one I've always had is administration. It's a very organized, multiple tasks group. You know, like the worship team over here knows I'm very organized and detailed. But that's a gift. It's a gift. We need that gift. If someone didn't have that gift, we'd be running in chaos, right? Not all pastors have the gift of administration, right? They have a team where they build and bring people on who have that gift. You bring those people into your gift, into your giftings and into your church. Some other ones, faith is a good one. It's one where you just have this, you just know God can do the supernatural, and it's just, it radiates from you in a deeper way than just our regular faith. That one's grown for sure. But one I wanted to talk about that I talked about first service, I mentioned a couple months ago, was giving. That is a gift of the Spirit. And at a couple years ago, that was probably at the bottom of my list. I'm a great steward with my money. I love to save. I like to find a good deal, things like that. But I was very, very tight with my money and my things. I didn't want to share because I thought it all belonged to me. But of course, that, again, that's not in love. That's not with humility. That's not trusting God. And so God started to work on that in my heart. He started to chisel that away. Again, my husband is more of a giver. So when we got married, that was always a conversation. But God worked on my heart. And as the years have gone by, as I've realized that money comes and goes, that's all it really does. In the bank account, out the bank account, usually out more often, right? Especially with inflation. But that's all it is. I mean, yeah, it's the way we function as a society, but it doesn't make you better than anybody. If anything, it makes you probably a little more greedy at times. But God worked on my heart. And now giving is like probably in my top five. I love to give. And when God gives me that opportunity, I take it. Because it blesses his people and it gives him glory. That's, again, we live this life with intentionality. What we do is going to give God glory or it's not. It's really black or white with that. So again, finding your gifts, it takes time. It takes time to learn, to study. I mean, I've been studying the gifts since as long as I've been a Christian, and I still learn new stuff every day. God's word is alive and active, and he reveals new things in the scriptures as you grow. I would say if you don't know your gifts, the best thing you can do is to pray about it. God is the one who gives, so ask the one who gives out those gifts. Pray and say, God, what gifts have you given me? You say I have a purpose, you have a plan for my life, and that what I have, this gift that I have, is crucial for the body. So please reveal that to me. Show that to me. How can I be a blessing? Maybe it's giving. It doesn't have to be always money. It can be giving of your time, giving of your resources. Right? Maybe it's just saying, hey, someone at work, you know, you see someone down, hey, can I buy you a cup of coffee? Can I buy you lunch? Can I take you out and let's just talk? You know, there's your moment to share about Jesus. There's other gifts, plenty out there, mercy, helps, hospitality. Man, do we need more hospitality? Again, this world is so broken and so dark. And we are the light of Jesus. So when we can come in with love, with gentleness, with patience, and display those gifts. Like, hey, why don't you come on over and have dinner? No strings attached. So that's what Jesus would do. Another way you can learn your gifts is taking a spiritual gifts test. This is great. I actually have a handout. I printed some out. I have all the gifts on here. And then I put a website at the bottom on the back where you can go online and you can fill it out. It takes maybe 5 minutes. I mean, you can take 20 minutes if you want, but it just kind of gives you an idea of what you lean towards. And it'll show you, oh wow, this is what I could use. You might realize what God has already been working in your life and what gifts you already kind of naturally have. But again, everything we do, let it be for His glory. I know it's like the new year, so a lot of people say new year, new me, new resolutions. I get it can be kind of cheesy, it can be kind of repetitive, or maybe you're like, oh, this year is just 2025, I'm so over it, you know, I want a new fresh start, right? I mean, even as we get older, right, the years just fly by. Like, I can't believe 2025 happened. It was like a blink of an eye. But really, it's the first Sunday of 2026. God had this message for you this morning. Maybe it is just to kind of recenter, you know? Maybe you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you've been sitting on the sidelines. I don't know what to do now that I'm saved. What else should I do? What else do I need to do? You know, we can get plugged in. We have different programs, discipleship, as we talked about this morning with our announcements. But maybe it's just taking a time and saying, Lord, I want everything in my life to glorify you. I want to take what you've called me to do and to glorify your name. Someone said this morning when they were praying over me that we could be gone in a blink of an eye. Tomorrow is not promised. Right? Somebody needs that encouragement. Somebody needs that gift from you. Our body needs to be united. The church needs to be united because we are that light. And so as I close, I just want to reflect again. Maybe we can just bow our heads right now and just center ourselves before the Lord and just say, God, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your grace and for your word. That your word is true, and that your truth sets us free. And God, I thank you that you have laid out a blueprint, a vision of how you want us to function as a healthy body. Lord, we want to honor you. We want to make you proud, Lord. You died for us, Lord. We deserved death and hell and the grave. And yet you came and you sacrificed your one and only Son to be our redemption. And so in return, Lord, let our lives glorify you. I'm sorry, Lord, if I've been distracted. I'm sorry, Lord, if I've tried to do things for myself. I've chased after things that don't matter. Money. Things. Relationships. Status. God, those things don't matter. What matters is that one day you will come and we will come before you and you will say, well done, good and faithful servant. I gave you these gifts so that you could use them. And when you use those gifts, Lord, thank you for fulfilling my heart and my purpose. Again, with every head bowed, I want to also just take the opportunity. If you don't know Jesus, if you've never experienced him and what he has for you, if this is all new, if this is something that is speaking to you now, that you want to have a purpose in your life, that you want to receive these gifts, that you want to have hope, would you just raise your hand? Again, every head bowed, every eye closed. You don't know Jesus this morning. See your hands there. If you just could keep them up. And also, if you do know Jesus, but you just want to have this heart of surrender, you're making this public display, could you lift your hands and just say, yes, God, I want my heart and my mind, I want my vision to be on you and the plans you have for me. Let me exercise those gifts. Amen. Amen. So Lord, again, I just thank you for this time. You see the hands, God, of surrender. Those that want to just dedicate their lives, Lord, to you. If you don't know the Lord, you pray a prayer of confession saying, Lord, that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. I'm broken. I'm far from you. But I believe that Jesus Christ died for me, that he rose again, and that he bestowed his gifts, his grace upon my life, so that I could have eternity with you. And so, Lord, I ask that you come into my life, come into my heart, come into my mind, renew me, change me. Make me new. Give me new vision. Give me a purpose, Lord, for this life. May it not rot away for my wants and needs, but for yours. And God, I pray for those that raise their hands that just want to recenter themselves on you. It's a new year. So we take this time. May we live with intentionality. Where nobody's perfect, and that's okay. That's where your grace comes in. But Lord, help us to just tap in to the gifts you have for us. May we use them with confidence. May we disciple others. May we share the love of Jesus in a broken and dark world that is so far from you. May we be the change. May we be the difference. Lord, let us lead with love. Let us lead with humility, with patience, with gentleness. We thank you, Father. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. 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 All right. Well, if you guys could stand, I just want to pray a blessing over you all. Lord, I just thank you for each person here. May they go out and be protected, Lord. May you bless them as they go about their week. Lord, Holy Spirit, shine your face on them, Lord. Speak to them in a new and a mighty way. We thank you. And in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys.